And now, I'd like to show my love by making for you a Quebec pizza.
What's that?
Pop-Tart with the ketchup. She's good.
Daniel Palmer, San Antonio, Texas.
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Ba-la-la-la.
It's showtime.
Welcome back to TT and at the Movies for the week of November 26, 2017. TT and at the Movies is brought to you by all the great podcasts that you can find on the brand new Trendy Topics Network. And some of those that you can find on there are STFU, Wrestling Cheers, and Tim and Tom. If you want to contact the show, you can email us at ttnmovies@gmail.com. I am Mr. Fourth Row, and I'm not alone. Once again, I have the flower power child herself, Daisy.
Woohoo! Daisy. Hey, everybody!
Daisy, how are you doing?
I'm doing awesome!
And how was your Thanksgiving?
It was fantastic. I think I had enough cranberry sauce to last a lifetime.
Well, that's good to hear. So, as listeners have heard by now, Old School is going to pick up his Old School at the Movies, and then TTN at the Movies is going to be kind of a separate podcast now. So, if you want to contact us, like I said, ttnmovies@gmail.com, that's plural, movies, and we'll read any questions you have or comments. We don't have a Twitter or a Facebook or anything like that. May look into doing that, but for right now, email is probably the best way to go. So, as we have done in the past, we're going to do a couple movie reviews for you listeners. So, the first one we're going to do is, I hope you guys like this. This is going to be kind of an interesting episode. When we talked, Daisy and I talked about this, we thought, oh, this would be pretty fun to do. So, we're going to do Passengers.
Yeah, Passengers.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So, Passengers, what did you think about it?
You know, I thought it was a really good movie, especially with Anne Hathaway. Anne Hathaway being like, I mean, I'm always used to seeing her in like The Devil Wears Prada. She does like some, she's just like one of those really young actors that you can connect with. I didn't think the way that that movie was, is it had a nice twist at the end. You know, at first, like, she, her being a psychiatrist and being a doctor and going in and interviewing these people about the plane crash that they were in, it was just the way it was. Like, usually she's a really girly girl actress, you know, everything that she has, but she was more of a professional, serious girl in that, in the movie itself. I don't know what your thoughts were.
Yeah. So, first of all, before we get, I get into too much of it, hey, listeners, did we fool you? We said Passengers. You probably were thinking about the one with Jennifer Lawrence and Chris Pratt. Well, no, that's not the one we reviewed. We reviewed Passengers starring Anne Hathaway that was in 2008. Basically, a grief counselor was working with a group of plane crash survivors, and she finds herself in the root of a mystery, but all of a sudden, her clients are disappearing, and she's trying to figure out what's going on. So, so it's a drama, suspense kind of movie. I thought it was all right. It was, you know, dramas are always kind of like, ooh, you know, what's going on, you know, and there has to be some kind of thing going on behind the scenes. As you were saying when we were watching it, it's like, she's dead. It's just like, this is like Stir of Echoes or something.
Something like that. It wasn't Stir of Echoes. It was,
Sixth Sense?
Yeah, it was like The Sixth Sense. Because, like, I was watching it, and then I'm like, wait a minute. Because they kept describing, it was kind of weird, because, like, the people, the passengers of the actual, the plane, like, they kept seeing, like, their loved ones that had passed before them coming to visit, and then the one character, the gentleman that Anne Hathaway was acting with, like, he saw his pet dog, and he kept thinking that it was, you know, his dog, and Anne Hathaway's character was like, no, it's just the next door neighbor's dog. We come to find out it was actually his dog, from that was buried in his family's yard.
Yeah, from his childhood.
Yeah, from his childhood. And I was like, when he said that, I was like, wait a minute, this seems like The Sixth Sense. And I was like, that's so weird. I was like, how much you want to bet she's dead? And I was like, but yeah, it was so, at first, like, you didn't really, like, I thought it was just like, it was truly, like, she was a psychiatrist going and meeting with all these passengers and talking to them about the accident, you know, and then to have that twist on it was really different, so.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's kind of maybe a little hard to watch because it's like, oh, we've seen this kind of movie before, you know, with The Sixth Sense, you know, kind of storyline, because, of course, that was groundbreaking at the time.
Yeah, I mean, this one was, I wasn't really expecting it. I think it was, I mean, it was the same thing with Sixth Sense with Bruce Willis there, is that it was a little bit more in towards the end of the movie was when she finally realized it.
Yeah.
Which is the same thing as Sixth Sense, but overall, like, I thought it was a nice flow to it. There wasn't any interruptions into it, trying to figure out, like, well, wait, where did that character come from? So I think it had a good flow.
Yeah. Well, Sixth Sense came out in 1999, and Passengers came out in 2008. So it kind of have a little similarities with that just right there. But as for kind of like the uniqueness of, oh, we're seeing, you know, family members or, you know, people that they know in this, whatever state you want to call it, that they were in, you know, seeing their dog or their past loved ones or friends and stuff like that. And, you know, we did have that one guy that was like, you know, you got to help me. And he was following them around and everything. And then, you know, of course, at the end, you know, spoiler alert, the big reveal that a lot of the people that she was encountering day by day were part people that were actually in the airplane crash.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, no, it was interesting. I think it was a nice take on, whereas what my faith believes is that there's an in-between state, the in-between state of, you know, when you pass on. So I think that kind of brought it into perspective of what happens and people trying to bring them back and to bring them into the next life and everything. So yeah. I think it's, you know, it kind of goes along that line. Just like, I just watched that movie, Gods of Egypt or something like that. And, it was like the same thing where they're traveling through the netherworld as they're passing through. So I think it was a good theme for that.
Right.
So, yeah.
You know, one kind of thing that was interesting is that the main character, played by Anne Hathaway, it was Claire and Eric, they started a relationship, even though she was a therapist, and it was kind of maybe frowned upon because, client therapist, you know, kind of where they need to have a separation. But then when they were in the plane crash, they sat next to each other, and he was helping her through the ordeal as, like, we're going to crash, and, you know, he was kind of comforting her. So it kind of like, oh, now that kind of makes sense of why they had when they met in the waiting room, whatever you want to call it, whatever it's called, in that limbo, that they started a relationship in that. So that was kind of
a good
writing, I thought.
Yeah. I think the writing in the script was spot on for that, because there was the relationship, and then going into the next stages, like they show them at the end, you know, still having that relationship together. So I think, overall, like, I thought it was a good plot. Wasn't really expecting the way that it ended, but that's usually me, since I haven't seen that one before. So I was like, oh, let's watch that. I was like, the trailer looked pretty awesome. And it's like,
yeah.
So,
and thank goodness I was able to find this on my Dish TV subscription and able to record it, and so that we were able to watch it. So it's kind of nice. So if you had to give it a rating out of 10, what would you give it?
I'm probably going to go with like a 7. And the reason for that is because we've already seen the way that the story unfolds with Sixth Sense. I think it was very similar to that. Only it was just different characters in a different situation. So I think, I would say, you know, based on the characters in the movie plot, it was nice, but it kind of copied what we had seen 10 years earlier.
Yeah. Well, instead of one character, it was multiple characters having the issue.
Yeah. So I think, it was just a different scenario kind of thing.
Yeah. You know,
but same overall plot, I guess, like the same storyline, I guess, if you want. Well, I can't remember what the theme.
A parallel.
Sorry. Yeah, the parallel on it. So, yeah.
Oh, cool.
But yeah, I mean, it was interesting though.
Right. Well, I would I'd give it a 6. Sometimes dramas or suspenses are hard to watch just because there's just a lot they have to do, and it just was like something just needed a little bit more to like keep my attention and kind of like, you know, well, this was, you know, this wasn't like a blockbuster probably at the time that it came out. It wasn't like a hyped up movie or anything like that, so.
Oh, so what you're saying is that you've never listened to the old radio classic Suspense. Because that was my all-time favorite show to listen to. I listen to the radio classics, so the suspense is always in there, so you're probably not more of a suspense person.
Yeah. I guess it just kind of, it kind of depends on what the story is. And, you know, this was kind of like, I was like, what's going on? You know, maybe, you know, they were trying not to be, I think, as frightful with this. Instead, they were trying to be more cerebral with it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just trying to make you think, and maybe trying to give you clues of what could be going on. Why is this person, you know, appearing in everything that they're at and where they're at and things of that nature, so.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So,
yeah.
But yeah. So, yeah, I mean, overall, like, combined score, I think it's probably 6.5 stars.
Yeah.
From both of us, so.
Right.
Yeah. All right, so do we want to go to the next movie that we just finished? That one was awesome.
Okay. And so now, surprise, we are going to review Passengers, the 2016 version.
Yay!
And so that was sort of set you guys up. So that's the reason why we watched the 2008 one, because we did a IMDb search for Passengers, and it's like, oh, there's another one. So we've been working on this for a while, thinking about we're gonna set this up and and everything like that. It's like, oh, wouldn't that be funny if we did a Passengers review?
Yeah, I mean, that's because it's. I mean, I love the ones where it's the same, like, same song title, but different story.
Yeah.
You know, with the things. So it's like, oh, let's think about this, like, Passengers, you know, same title of the movie, but different plot, and different characters. And so it really, the 2016 one, I think is completely opposite of what the 2008 Passengers movie was. It, you know, it wasn't a remake, so that was a good thing.
Yeah.
Because it would be too soon if you're going to remake a movie. I honestly think that you need to wait about 20, 30 years before you try to remake another movie of the same exact thing.
Yeah.
But that's my personal take on it. But this one, I mean, being that it's... so it's Jennifer Lawrence and Chris Pratt.
Yep.
I thought from a sci-fi...
Well, it is a sci-fi thriller.
Yeah, sci-fi thriller. I love this movie. And I love it so much that I ended up getting it on Blu-ray. Because I wanted to see how they made it. Especially, like, the one scene where they lose gravity. And Jayla is, like, in the water bubble. And I'm like... my gosh, how did they do that? It was just so awesome to see the producers on how they did that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know what your thoughts are, because this is the first time you've seen it.
Right. So, just to step back just a second. So, Passengers, the 2016 version, basically we have a starship, Avalon, transporting a whole bunch of people to another colony. Everybody is in hibernation, and well, this wouldn't be a movie unless something goes terribly wrong. So we have the lead actor, Chris Pratt. His hibernation pod wakes him up early because they go into a meteor field or meteorites kind of thing, and the automation kind of goes haywire. So he finds himself awake 89 years early, and he, you know, figures out, well, what am I going to do, you know, that kind of thing. So I liked it, you know, and then he, of course, wakes up, character played by Jennifer Lawrence, because he's lonely, which, you know, any red-blooded American male probably would be.
It's like, that was so wrong in so many ways. Like, you want to talk about classic stalking.
The cute blonde.
That was like stalking. If you... let me go to every single pod and figure out which one do I think is the most personable that I could possibly mate with. I mean, it's kind of like... I don't know, that's just me. Like, you went through... It's like online dating. It really is. It was like online dating. He doesn't even know these people, and he's going through it and reading their bios and listening to their interviews, and he's like, oh, I totally connected. I'm like, what the heck? But yeah, I thought it was pretty interesting. Like, the first scene when he first gets his clothes... Did you notice that jacket that he's wearing looks exactly like the one that he wore in Guardians of the Galaxy? I mean, it was similar. And like, wait a minute, that looks like Guardians of the Galaxy jacket. Like, I don't know if you noticed it, but...
Yeah, I mean, sort of. I mean, they're... Sometimes wardrobe companies all have the, you know, same kind of mindset. So when they're thinking about that... You know, that could be just one of those things that are very similar. Speaking of Guardians of the Galaxy, maybe a little bit of a spoiler alert. So, but there was a scene towards the end of the movie that Chris Pratt's character was outside of the vessel, outside of the Avalon, and he basically... is caught outside without life support, and I was like, it's Star-Lord.
I know, he's, right?
He's saving his compatriots, you know, in sacrificing himself. And he gets wheeled back in and resuscitated. So I was like, well, that's kind of interesting. He's like, I guess he's kind of good at that kind of thing.
Yeah, no, I thought it was interesting to see that, you know, the different, how his character, like, kind of crossed over into this movie. And I think it was also probably because they were probably filming it around the same time. I can't remember, like, when, because the Guardians of the Galaxy came out, what, last year? The second one?
The Volume 2?
Yeah.
Volume 2 came out in 2017. So,
yeah, so they were probably filming, like, right after they filmed Passengers.
Yeah, he could have rolled in from one to the other.
Yeah, so he might have had that, but, yeah, I thought it was pretty interesting that it had, like, some similarities between the two of them. But, yeah, it's, like, I did like the fact that he was the lower class coming in on the ship. And her character was that she was, like, the top person because she was a journalist and everything, and she got all the fancy food.
Yeah.
And the fancy, everything that was all, like, she's like, oh, yeah, I paid for all of this. And,
right.
You know, but, yeah.
Well, I remember growing up that they always talked about this kind of thing, and this would be one of the things they would do, that you would have the different tiers of class and what amenities you would have in this kind of space travel to distant places. So they would have that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, okay. One thing that I did have a problem with it, though, is since there was an issue that the ship didn't have any kind of fallback plan, because it'd be like, well, there's an issue, and then the ship, if it's so self-diagnostic that it would be able to see this kind of thing at any kind of request from anybody and have somebody be able to be resuscitated and take care of it. And then also, because of that, then that would also kind of roll into if somebody woke up early or there was a problem with a pod, you know, that they would be able to get them back to the sleep. The hibernation pod would be able to do that. Because if it's sustaining them, why couldn't it induce them into hibernation as well?
Yeah.
If it can wake up. So shouldn't be able to do the entire cycle.
Well, and that's what I was thinking as well. Because, like, when the captain or that crew member came through, and he was like, wait, he's like, oh, it was because your chip was bad, like, you had a bad chip in your pod, and that's why yours
it fried out, the timing chip.
You would think that like, being an automated ship, that it would have had, like, they had all these little robots roaming around, like, why not have it, like, in the movie WALL-E, where the robot knows that it's a failure, and it goes and fixes it.
Yeah.
You know, but that kind of would defeat the plot of the movie if that really happened.
Right, but, yeah.
Oh!
Yeah, so some of the things that were probably technically issues, they wouldn't have been able to have a movie.
Yeah.
Of course. Mm. So, it was kind of cool. I like the android, even though he called himself an android at one moment, and then he called himself a robot in another. And I was like, oh, that's probably, they probably should have just said an android, but maybe because the first time when he said, I'm an android, that people are like, oh, okay, well, what's that? Some people may not know what an android is, but some people know what a robot is.
Yeah.
And so they're trying to probably dumb down or cute up the dialogue, make it a little more cute.
Yeah, I'm thinking that that's what it was.
Yeah.
But no, like, I think, I mean, the technology was there. I mean, it was really good, the way they pieced it all together.
Yeah, all the feasibility stuff with the technology I thought was pretty good. You know, the you know, got a little bit of a love story in this as well. So that was pretty good. Despite, you know, despite all that, I thought it was very good. It kept my attention. It was definitely, you tell there's, you know, it, this was definitely done in 2016, so a lot of CGI visual special effects were in it. And, you know, Chris Pratt and Jennifer Lawrence make a great co-starring duo, I thought, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely. I thought that they, the way that their characters were and the acting together, there wasn't really uncomfortableness in between them, especially with the romance in it. I thought it was really good in there. There wasn't anything that was like, oh my goodness, what's going on? You can see the awkwardness between the two of them. So, even though I think both of them are married, so they did it really good. Like, I'm pretty sure their wives, and you know, the wives and the husband was okay with them kissing and doing whatever that was. So, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Anything else about the movie that you want to mention?
I don't think so, actually.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's one of those, you know, it's one of those movies that you watch, like, anytime. I think the length of it, an hour and 45 minutes, was actually pretty good. It might have been a little bit longer. The length of both of those movies was really good. So it wasn't where you're really bored after a while. But yeah, it's one of those that it went really fast. Like, it wasn't really slow or anything, or, you know, we're halfway through it, you're falling asleep, and then the action comes back up, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I still don't understand how, when Jennifer Lawrence had time from the time that, like, that piece of shrapnel came through and she got a bandage on it. I don't know how that happened, but I was like, wait, how did she get a bandage on her arm? Like, maybe I missed it. I'll have to watch it again.
Well, and one thing that I wanted to know, a little bit of a spoiler alert, I want to kind of know what happened to the couple. Because, you know, it was basically brought that they basically, because they couldn't go back into hibernation, they just went ahead and lived out their lives. So they didn't have any children. We don't know if they didn't have any children, because when they got closer to their destination, the crew was revived, and they found the main area where they planted a tree was overgrown, and we had overgrown foliage and all that kind of stuff.
Where did all the animals come from? That's what I don't understand.
Nature finds a way, is Jurassic Park's.
Oh, God. I was like, where did all the birds come from? Like, I don't remember birds being in space, but okay. So it was really strange. But no, I think overall I think it was good. But
yeah.
But yeah.
And if you wanted to give it a rating out of 10?
Oh, honestly, I think I'm going to go with an 8 on this one.
Okay.
The only reason why, like, for a lower score on that is because there's so many questions left over. Like, okay, for instance, you know, what you just mentioned was, you know, okay, well, how did they, like, they have the ability to go back into the pod, to send one of them back in the pod, but they decided not to.
Well, the medical pod.
Yeah, the medical pod to hibernate.
Yeah.
You know. So I think that was, it just kind of left it open. So I don't know if they're going to come out with, like, a Passengers 2 or something that coming up, like, right after it.
Yeah.
We'll have to see how it goes. But yeah, I think they just left it open-ended. So.
Yeah, well, I'm not necessarily see that necessarily. It could go for a sequel, or it could just stay as is. It could go either way, because, you know, her, spoiler alert, her original plan, that she was going to go there, live a year, and then come back.
Yeah.
So, you know, but the question is, you know, obviously they repaired the Avalon enough to get there, so obviously it should be able to make its way back as well.
Yeah.
Unless there was another craft that she was going to be on, just because she was maybe the only one that was on going to be doing this on her way back and be living in the future, as she said.
Well, and that's like, how do you get, like, you know, 100, 120 years or, you know, 160 years as they're going out there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
120
years. Yeah, 120 years. And then, but she was going to stay there a year and then go back another one. It's like, well, by the time you get back to Earth, like, what's actually left? Like, well, what's going to be there?
They said it's still supposed to be the center of all civilization, so.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, that would be kind of hard. I personally would not travel 100 and some odd years in the middle of space just to go there for a year and come back. It's just like, really? Why? Why, people? Why? Why prolong the inevitable? So, yeah, what would you give it?
I'm going to agree with the same rating, but despite the little technical issues that I had with the movie, I'm definitely going to give it an 8 as well. You know, those, you know, like I said, without the glaring flaws, you know, the technical stuff, they wouldn't have a movie, so they kind of have to kind of be blind to that. So, but I would give it, I'd give it an 8 as well. So,
yeah, so, and I especially loved it when the computers and everything started going haywire and all the cereals spit out in the middle of the cafeteria. That was like the best part.
Some of the haywire stuff, yeah.
Yeah, so. But yeah.
Well, yeah, all right. Okay. Well, I think that's going to be just our quick little simple review here for Passengers and Passengers. You decide which one is which. Once again, if you want to get a hold of us, just email us at ttnmovies, that's plural, at gmail.com. You can reach me via Twitter at Mr. M-I-S-T-E-R, put a 4-T-H in the middle, R-O-W at the end on Twitter. And that's pretty much, I think, we all have here. So, Daisy, any concluding thoughts you want to tell the listeners?
Yeah, and if you have any suggestions on movies that we should watch and review, let us know.
Yeah.
Because we kind of run out of ideas.
Yeah, or and ask us, you know, do an ask us any type of kind of thing. We'll include it in the upcoming episode, you know, favorite types of movies. Try to keep it, trying to movie related, you know, maybe favorite movies, favorite characters in movies, whatever you want to kind of do. Try to kind of theme it to that a little bit. Even kind of ask us maybe an oddball movie question, too, that we will make really make us think. So we'd really appreciate that.
Yeah.
And once again, the TTN at the Movies is brought to you by the brand new Trending Topics Network, where you can find all kinds of great shows, such as What's on Fight, Loot Chat, and Squabblecast. So we thank you for listening. Take care, and have a good time at the movies.
Here's a question for aspiring screenwriters. Is it possible to make the movie Passengers better with some relatively minor changes? You know, I don't think this is a really bad film. After hearing reviews from friends and online, I sort of expected it to be, but I think that feeling was mostly disappointed expectation. Passengers is by no means a train wreck. It's just really, really predictable. The plot goes like this. After the interstellar spaceship Avalon malfunctions, Chris Pratt wakes up from hypersleep 90 years before he's supposed to, 90 years before anyone else on the ship. He can't go back to sleep. He can't contact Earth. He can't get to the ship's controls. He tries to do all of these things and fails. As a year passes, he grows increasingly sad and hopeless. So eventually, he decides to wake up another passenger, Jennifer Lawrence, condemning her to the same fate, essentially death, in order to give himself some more company. He acts like it's another malfunction. He doesn't tell her. After a while, they fall in love. She finds out the truth, gets really mad, and then the ship begins to really malfunction. So Pratt sacrifices himself to save it, but in the end, she saves him. They fall in love again and spend the rest of their lives alone on the ship, happily ever after. Oh, and Lawrence Fishburne's in it too.
How long have I got?
about 12 or 13 minutes in Act 3. But, you know, count your blessings. It's way better than what Oscar-nominated actor Andy Garcia got. Aww. So you can break this plot up into 5 basic turning points. 1, Chris wakes up. 2, Chris wakes Jennifer up. 3, she finds out. 4, Chris sacrifices himself. And 5, she forgives him. The most acute tension in the film happens between parts 2 and 3, when Jennifer starts to fall in love with Chris, but doesn't yet know the truth. We know the truth is coming, there's a little dramatic irony there, and so we wait with increasing anxiety until it does. And when it does, predictably, Jennifer freaks out, predictably, and we feel a little sadness, predictably. At this point, exactly an hour into the movie, the script has sort of written itself into a corner. Because Pratt is the real main character, because we spend 30 minutes alone with him at the start of the film and see everything through his eyes, there's really only 2 paths to take regarding the central relationship. Either he dies, or she forgives him. In both ways, he finds absolution for the sin he committed, because you're not going to be able to turn him bad. Not a character like this, not unless you have 5 seasons to do it. And yes, I know there are some allusions to The Shining here, but The Shining spent pretty much no time at all endearing us to the character of Jack Torrance. Passenger spends the whole first act endearing us to the lovable, scrappy Chris Pratt. It's clear the creators or the studio were intent on this being a love story, so they chose to go with the schmaltzy ending. But they could have chosen either. The last 45 minutes would have been the same, a movie pretty much devoid of real tension or suspense, which requires a completely new plot device in the third act, the total malfunction of the ship, to juice the ending with some adrenaline. You know, a couple weeks ago I was watching Chris Stuckman and Doug Walker's joint review of Passengers, and Walker said something interesting.
If they told this in a different order,
yeah,
wouldn't have been 10 times more interesting.
Yes.
The thing I began to wonder is, what if you rearrange the movie so that Jennifer Lawrence was the point of view character, not Chris Pratt? What if the film began with her experience? Well, I couldn't stop thinking about it, so I re-edited the existing footage to see what would happen to the story.
Good morning, Aurora. How are you feeling? You just spent 120 years in suspended animation.
Grand Concourse.
Hello? Anybody?
Hello.
Hi. Are you passenger or crew?
Passenger. Jim Preston.
Do you know what's going on? Nobody else from my row woke up.
Same for me.
When I made this change and just watched from there, some interesting things started to happen. First of all, the first act changes its tone entirely. With the original first act, you're wandering around the ship with Chris Pratt. You learn cool things. You see him come to terms with the situation, have fun, get depressed, and finally reach the ethical dilemma that's meant to animate the movie. What you see is what you get here, which makes for a somewhat passive viewing experience. It's an amusing sequence, but that's mostly down to cool production design and Pratt's always charming performance.
Guess I am gonna die of old age on this ship.
But in the new first act, the story is infused from the start with mystery. When I made the editing changes, I was genuinely surprised by just how creepy Pratt's character is when you take away his point of view. We don't know whether to trust him or not, believe him or not, and that makes the audience's experience an active one in every moment.
Do you know what's going on? Nobody else from my row woke up.
Same for me.
As he leads Jennifer around the ship, locations become crime scenes where the viewer tries to figure out what's happening. This, of course, by the way, is what makes Andrei Tarkovsky's Solaris so great. So much has happened on Solaris by the time the lead character arrives that he and the audience have to piece the fragments together themselves. I mean, just look at how creepy he is. I actually think that Pratt's performance takes on more dimensions from this angle. You're not always forced to see him as sympathetic, so his darker side comes out in greater relief. More important than that, the dark choice that sits at the heart of this film hits with greater impact when seen from the first time from Lawrence's perspective, because we feel the cruelty as she feels it.
Did you wake me up?
I tried not to.
So now we're at the point where the original story hits that dead end. But with this new edit, you have some more options to play with. Namely, with this configuration, you could actually turn Pratt into the villain the original film suggests but can't follow through on, and make Passengers into the thriller horror film that so many critics wanted to see. You could even cut back in that whole first section of Chris's time alone on the ship, but put it after the revelation. Without the need to justify his good guyness, you could show a deeper, more desperate side to his loneliness, something that I think actually would make him more sympathetic in the end, and the choice he makes more agonizing. Of course, this simple cut and paste doesn't solve every problem in the script. The ending, for example, is still an issue. I think you'd want to remove the malfunction MacGuffin, but it might be just as trite to close the story in true horror fashion. It could be cool to give it a Twilight Zone ending, as Peter Scaretta at Slash Film suggested, and have Pratt die and Lawrence get so lonely that she begins to contemplate the same horrible choice. Brainstorming like this is obviously really fun, and much easier than actually writing a movie and making one. For all its faults, Passengers is a big-budget movie with a completely original script, and that should be celebrated because it's a dying breed. But a film like this is a good opportunity for would-be screenwriters to think about story, because you can learn just as much from films that don't work as you can from those that do.